Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time. We continue in the church season of Epiphany, where teachings about the life of Jesus can bring deep revelation, understanding, and meaning into our lives. These are stories that provide impact and positive change if we allow that process to happen. Wise people still seek truth and meaning found in the life and person of Jesus Christ. Week one, we heard the sermon of John the Baptist and saw Jesus' baptism, learning about repentance, that it's more than just a simple I'm sorry, that it's a change of heart and mind that is reflected in a changed life. Week two, we heard Jesus' sermon at Nazareth and learned that through Jesus, God's story becomes a story of inclusion, not a story of exclusion. God is the God of justice and mercy, but God calls us to provide ministry to the poor, those living in both financial and spiritual poverty. That God calls us to bind up the brokenhearted, to mend those whose spirits have been crushed, trampled on, to set the prisoner free, those that are held back from stepping into the fullness of life that God offers, those who allow anything to hinder or hold back. God calls us to proclaim his favor on all. This week, we'll be looking at the story of the disciples being called to be fishers of men. You know, it's a familiar story told in Sunday school and at vacation Bible school. You see it often in children's biblical literature. So what possible, important, life-changing truth can be gained from a children's story? Let's see. But first, let's pause for a word of prayer. Jesus, you taught your disciples to cast a wide net in deep water, not for fish, but for people. Teach us to fish. Make our fingers nimble so that we might handle hearts and hands gently. Help us to wait quietly and patiently for those who are not yet ready to receive you. Make our hearts hungry for your word, and by your word, transform us today. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the Lake of Gennesaret and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. Now, the Lake of Gennesaret is a term that Luke uses for the Sea of Galilee. He can't bring himself, apparently, to call this small body of water a sea, and instead labels it a lake. This is not the only way that Luke's gospel is unique in respect to the other gospels. We've talked about this before, but I think it's important enough that we bring it up often. The gospel stories found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John share amazing similarities that four people could share the stories of Jesus with such amazing and pointed similarities. It's nothing short of miraculous. And yet, there are also distinct differences. The order of the timeline is sometimes shifted. Various truths
are often highlighted. Studying the Gospels provides us with an opportunity to hear the stories of Jesus from various perspectives. It's such a good reminder that God intended us to study His Word by hearing various perspectives and points of view. If you were with us last week, you learned that Jesus spent the Sabbath in the synagogue listening to a variety of people read and interpret Scripture. He sat patiently and absorbed their commentaries. I still find that fascinating. If the Son of God can listen to varying points of view, then maybe it's something that we should consider also. One of the commentaries that I studied this week contained this statement. Many of us like to consider ourselves experts about things we know nothing about. I'm sure that we can all resonate with that statement, but there's a deeper truth that's also contained in Scripture, and it's about the importance of listening and hearing the other. You know, God allowed the story of the gospel to be shared from a variety of perspectives, so maybe we should consider being a little more open to variety as well. Maybe the way the gospel is knit together tells us something about our Creator. Maybe we're created with both similarities and differences, and maybe it is through intentional conversation, listening, and hearing that we come to what is real and relevant truth. In the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, discipleship happens immediately. Jesus calls, the disciples drop everything and they follow. The point is obedience and call. But in the book of Luke, that's not how the story happens. Here, the fishermen hear Jesus preach and teach. They watch him heal and cast out demons. Jesus has visited Simon's house, and he's healed his mother-in-law. She has a high fever, and Jesus stands over her, commands the fever to leave, and it does, as Simon must have watched in amazement. Scripture tells us that as the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid hands on everyone, and every one of them were healed. And the disciples were witnesses to those miracles. Demons were cast out saying, "You are the Christ, Son of God." And it fell upon the disciples' ears. Jesus tries to slip away to a deserted place before moving to another city to continue his work. And the crowds find him and beg him to stay and continue his teaching. And yet he tells them, "I have to be about my purpose, reaching as many people as possible." And the disciples are witnesses to these events, which brings us to today's passage where the crowd is pressing against Jesus to hear the word of God. And Jesus sees these two boats there by the lake, by the shore of the lake. He notices that the fishermen are washing their nets. We will learn that this has been an unsuccessful all-night fishing excursion. They have come up empty-handed. We need to understand the disappointment and the worry that accompanies those empty nets. This is a story about trust and call and discipleship and abundance. It's also a story of discouragement, risk, and persistence. Now, these are lessons that are always relevant, but maybe with just a little added meaning as we face the challenges of January 2021. Jesus gets into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, the same Simon who had watched Jesus heal his mother-in-law, the same Simon who had just recently shared a meal with Jesus. And Jesus asks him to put out a little from the shore. And Jesus makes the boat his pulpit. And he sits and he preaches to the crowd as the disciples listen. Luke doesn't tell us the content of Jesus' message, what Luke wants us to see is that Jesus' preaching and teaching, his healing and casting out demons, that he's drawing attention, that people are taking notice, that the crowds are starting to assemble, and the disciples are right in the middle of it all. When Jesus sets up this miracle for the disciples to experience, when he finishes speaking, he says to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your net down, and let down your nets for the catch." And Simon answers, "Master, we've worked all night long and we've caught nothing." You know, there's a lot unsaid in that statement. "Hey, carpenter, you might know how to build stuff, but we are the fishing experts. We're the ones that have been out all night. And night is when you catch fish, by the way, and they weren't there. Not there now." Disappointment on disappointment, discouragement on discouragement, tired, weary, exhaustion, combined with the worry about what happens now. Never a good time to press an issue. And yet, you know, that was my 2020 word that I drew last year at our leadership training. And I am still, as we step into 2021, being reminded of the ways God has ministered in and through that word. For those of you that aren't familiar with the practice called Star Words, I want to give you a little explanation about what that is. I want to also let you know that if you give to our church, you will have received an envelope with your giving statement this time that contains a star word. Now, we don't want this to be exclusive only to those who give. We want this to be available to everyone. We believe it's a beneficial practice. If you did not receive a star word, call the church office or stop by the church. We'll have extras. Please come and pick one up. And don't just pick it up. Practice it. It's a way of focusing on just one word, and in and through that word, seeing or becoming aware of the way God works, with an understanding that if God is present in just that one word, can we imagine through our vocabulary and conversation the variety of words, how present and active God is in our lives? It's an amazing practice. Please be a part of it. "Yet," Simon responds, "if you say so." So along with Simon's disappointment, discouragement, exhaustion, and worry, he is willing to listen and to try yet again. You know, the Working Preacher commentary that I use states this: Jesus' mentioning of the deep water implies that there may be unexplored areas of potential beyond perceived limits of resources, knowledge, and energy. Man, that's good news. That's one of those statements that you want to print off and place somewhere close and within constant sight. Unexplored areas of potential beyond perceived limits of resources, knowledge, and energy. Where we see exhaustion, where we see limited resources, where we see lack of knowledge, God says there is unlimited potential for you to tap into in and through me. You know, that deep water statement caught my attention, and I prayed about it several times this week. What's the deep water? While I love the statement from Working Preacher, and it's one that I want to cling to, I think there may also be another possibility. It's one that I've experienced several times throughout the course of this past week, possibly in answer to my prayer about the deep water. Sam Goad was home for Christmas, and I look forward to Sam being home because we typically get to continue a long-standing tradition of a Coke date. That usually happens at Sonic, and Sam's drink of choice is a watermelon Dr. Pepper. I know that because this tradition began a long time ago when Sam was facing a difficult life transition. It was a transition with far-reaching effects. I hadn't had a lot of experience with what Sam was going through, so I didn't really have any valid advice, and yet I did have a relationship with Sam. He looked to me for counsel and spiritual guidance, so I did what I could, and we met weekly for a watermelon Dr. Pepper, and I listened. And Sam listened too, sometimes. We had difficult conversation. And yes, we shared some laughs and some sarcasm and more than a few tears. Sam moved from high school to college, and conversations, especially conversations revolving around religion and faith, became even more challenging as Sam faced a time of questions and doubt that most of us face in determining what we really believe to be truth. I was so grateful for the mission work the church provided for those young adults. That was Sam's connection. Times when talk becomes reality and experience can match up with the contrary. You know, those times when you clearly see that what the world offers as truth may not really be truth at all. Those times when faith, as unrealistic as it may seem, becomes most real and relevant, the most real and relevant thing that you have. God called me into the deep water with Sam. Last week, though, I was tired. It was a heavy week with a lot of responsibility. I was excited about time to catch up with Sam. During our conversation, however, I sensed that Sam needed a little more than casual conversation, but I didn't go there. The instant that Sam drove away, I knew I had missed an opportunity. Texted him the next day and asked if he had just a minute to stop back by one more time. He did. And I began with an apology and an excuse, followed by the words that God had laid on my heart. Nothing profound or life-changing, just a simple reminder of who I knew Sam to be. Compassionate, kind, caring, intelligent, and resilient. Took the opportunity to live into the calling that Scripture has guided us through over the course of the last several weeks and months, proclaiming God's favor over Sam's life. No, it never ceases to amaze me, the physical reaction of someone receiving those words. It is inexplicable. So I won't try. I'll just encourage you, experience it for yourself. God's response to Simon's willingness to listen and to try again, it was immediate. Suddenly, they have more fish than two boats can bear. There's a lesson for us here. You have everything you need to accomplish God's calling on your life. You have everything you need and more. God offers an abundance of resources, knowledge, and energy. Your sight may tell you otherwise. Don't live by sight. Live by faith. It will never steer you in the wrong direction. God has put you in the right place, at the right time, with the right people to accomplish His purpose for your life, if you're open to doing so. I promise it will be more of a blessing and a revelation in your own life than it will be to the other. Notice next that they have to call out other fishermen, another powerful lesson. This mission, it isn't one that we're called to on our own. It's a community calling, something that we are called to together, a collaboration of resources, knowledge, and energy with potential of accomplishments so much more than we could ever imagine. We need to work together in spite of our differences to accomplish God's calling, unity of purpose, and mind. And they pull in such an abundance it weighs down their boats. Truth. when we are living into our calling and living into the abundance God sends, it will weigh down your boat. I've experienced this so many times in ministry. Something accomplishes way more than we could ever hope for or imagine, and you're excited, and then someone draws attention to the heavy weight that it's bringing to the boat, you know, the extra that it's going to cost the church budget, the wear and tear on the facility. Can we handle this abundance? Because with the abundance of people comes an abundance of issues. Think about all those fish. It's going to require a lot of work, a big volunteer load, and will there be a market? So there's lots of food, but can they be sold before they spoil? There are profits to consider, however. You should not step into your calling without considering the cost. But please, don't let the cost keep you from fulfilling your calling. That's one of the reasons you're hearing this story today. Know there is a cost, and be aware before the catch, before you even go fishing. But don't let the cost keep you from fulfilling your calling. Don't forget where the abundance originated. It is a gift from God. Mark in your memory banks now. Note in the margins of your Bible, if you have them, God provides for the abundance that He sends. Load may get heavy, but they make it to shore. Something significant happens there to Simon. He gains a new name, Peter. This happens when you step into your calling. He also realizes who he is apart from Jesus. You know, the calling brings worth, significance, direction, and newness of life that's represented by that new name. But he also realizes, we should also realize, just how lost we are without Jesus. And Jesus' response, do not be afraid. Oh, that we could receive those words and step fully into faith. Because to do so, we have to let go of the fear of, am I transformable? Can I change? Am I so stuck in the old that I'll never step into the new? Will I fail? Will I fall? Will I get back up? Does anyone see the potential in me? Do I see the potential in me? Do not be afraid. And they left everything and followed him. And we step into 2021 weary, worried, battered, and bruised. This children's story, and may I remind you, we are all children of God, reminds us about God's abundance, but it is so much more than a story of God's abundance. It's a story about using that abundance to lead and to serve others. We have enough. We have enough resources. We have enough knowledge. We have enough energy to grow a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. What does that look like? And how does that happen? Fishing for people in Luke's gospel, it's personal, relational work, deep water work, where healing and plenty follow. Discipleship includes times of teaching and healing and call. But don't forget, looking forward, there's also death and resurrection. So much to learn about the way this all works. I invite you to sharpen your focus, trusting that God will act. Watch for opportunities to minister and serve, to learn and to grow and to step into your calling. And be ready. Be ready to respond. It's time, church. It's time we go fishing. Amen.